May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Some of the most beloved words in all the Gospels, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. After all the focus on the very concrete event of the birth of the baby Jesus, it would be easy to float about 10 feet off the ground in this airy, light-infused prologue to John's Gospel. These poetic lines move us from the birth to the incarnation, which in a sense is the church's bold move to put some flesh on the bones of her theological framework. The challenge for us today is to settle into Christmastide when all the rest of the world is ready to rush along to the next thing on the holiday calendar. Today is a day to reflect on what incarnation is and what it means for all of us each day of our lives. Let's begin with what incarnation is. Incarnation is one of the basic beliefs of Christianity. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. Incarnation is the act of the Godhead becoming veiled in human flesh, as we just sang in Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Now, I'm fascinated by the use of the image of human flesh veiling the Godhead. Usually we think of a veil as something that obscures objects from our sight. What's interesting to me about the way we use this image of God veiled in human flesh is that through the incarnation, God becoming one of us in Jesus, we actually see God more clearly. We can speak of the grace of knowing Emmanuel, God with us. And this grace upon grace given in the incarnation includes redemption, restoration, and reconciliation. This alliterative list of the accomplishments of incarnation add up to one very simple reality for us Christians. God with us, by whom we are created, recreates us as humans with God. God's Word made flesh in Bethlehem and dwelt among us for us to be restored, forgiven, healed, and loved. And these things are accomplished for us as much in the life and ministry of Jesus as they are accomplished on the cross. Becoming human, God took a tremendous risk. God chooses not to determine our actions, and the result is often violence and chaos. And this was definitely true for Jesus in the end. And the reason that God took this risk is simple. God loves us that much. God loves you that much. God is willing to risk betrayal, torture, and death for the sake of that love. Christmastide, with its focus on incarnation, invites us to embrace the vulnerability manifested in the Christmas story. Mary's vulnerability in saying yes to God. Joseph's vulnerability in opening his home and his heart to Mary and her child. God's vulnerability in choosing the flesh of a helpless baby rather than a warrior king in which to be made manifest. You can't get much more vulnerable than that. Baby Jesus was dependent on those around him for all of his needs, for food, protection, and love. This vulnerability, this unlikely gift of incarnation, is God's word spoken to us. The word made flesh is peace. The word made flesh is hope. The word made flesh is love. The word made flesh is life. And I'm aware, even as I speak these words that arise in my mind and are formed in my mouth and vocal cords, they slip into an airy state that is disconnected from me, standing here in this pulpit in this moment. Our words, our human words, are not powerless. We all know the impact that well-chosen or ill-chosen words can have. But our words are not concrete. We have to embody words through our actions for them to take on flesh. And so we have these good words that we can allow to take on flesh in ourselves: peace, hope, love, and life. You can probably think of others. What are some good words that you might allow to take flesh in you? I invite you to speak them aloud right now, if you can think of some. Kindness, faith, patience, justice, mercy. These are good words that can be embodied in us. And the question is, how might you allow these words to take flesh in you? I offer a poem from Howard Thurman to stir up some ideas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when kings and princes are home, and the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. The work of Christmas is always out there to be done. God's word made flesh, God's word spoken and heard, invites us into a life that allows those words to be born in us and to be embodied among us. The work begun on the first Christmas, when the word was made flesh in the form of a tiny human being. That work was the inauguration of the new creation. We hear echoes of "in the beginning" of John's gospel that harken back to the beginning of Genesis. We are both part of that new creation and agents of its unfolding glory. Listen for a good word spoken for you by God this week. Perhaps it's a word that we've already spoken aloud here. Perhaps it's a new word. But listen for that word from God and let it be embodied in you. And then get busy doing the work of Christmas. Merry Christmas, y'all.